This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I'm Stephanie McLean. On tonight's edition of The Informer, we're talking about the empowerment of women through the arts in Australia. Currently, full-time working women earn an average of 17.3% less than their male counterparts, while violence is a leading contributor to death, disability and illness of women aged 15 to 44 years. This is just a snapshot of gender inequality in Australia, and recent campaigning around women's issues in this country have definitely gained momentum of late. But how are we nurturing the next generation of strong Australian women? My co-producer Emma Arnold caught up with emerging artist Okenyo, a powerful woman who is using her music to ignite strength and spirit in the women around her. With her new single 10 Feet Tall having recently dropped, Okenyo strives to emphasise the importance of equal representation and diversity of women in Australia. And later on, I'll be catching up with Fitzroy High School's passionate performing arts teacher, Kate Allison, and some of her students who'll be dropping into the studio to talk about empowering women through the performing arts at their school. As always, we want to hear what you have to say, so send an email to onair@joy.org.au or text the studio on 0427 joy949, or you can tweet us at The Informer Joy. Listening to Joy 94.9, and this is The Informer. Tonight we're talking about women's empowerment through the performing arts and what some passionate modern feminists are doing to nurture the next generation of strong Australian women. Since releasing her debut single, Just a Story, last year, Okenyo has been making waves as an emerging neo-soul voice in the music scene, with features on Clash, Noisy and Hunger TV. Okenyo's mission statement is to ignite strength and spirit in the women around her through her music. With her upcoming national tour with Earth Boy and the release of her new single 10 Feet Tall, work definitely is not slowing down for the young singer. Emma Arnold, my co-producer, was lucky enough to catch up with this inspiring young woman earlier today. But before we hear what she had to say, here's a snippet of 10 Feet Tall by Okenyo.
Swimming slowly through the muck, never gonna be the right time. Always got your feelings on the line, always got your shoulders high.
Oh. What inspired you to use music as a way to empower women?
I think music in general is a really potent form of communication. It's really different to all the other arts because it speaks in a kind of visceral way, I think. When I first started writing, I came from a personal place and needed to get it out. If I held it in, then it would probably turn into something really negative. So I suppose it started out as an empowerment for myself. And then I think once I started writing and being vulnerable and being honest is really important to me as an artist. So once I started tapping into that, I realised that I could hopefully hand that over to other people, and especially, I think, being a female. Of course, you know, I write music to connect with anyone, but being a woman in this industry, it can be pretty hard. And yeah, I realised that I could have a certain power to speak to other young women, and yeah, that's really inspiring for me.
Music itself is incredibly powerful in the way it can surpass other forms of discrimination. Do you see music as a tool for confronting issues such as gender, race and sexuality?
Definitely, and I think that, you know, in the beginning, those things in life, sometimes those things are really hard to confront. It's the things that we, as we grow older and understand more about ourselves, and if we're really true to ourselves, and of course we come across the positive and the negative, and I try to tap into, I suppose, an atmosphere and a story, and then, of course, it will be interpreted in any way. And I think with 10 Feet Tall, my single out at the moment, that is about a certain empowerment in a particular way, but also I wanted to write something that was open. So the message in there is that, you know, basically if you're feeling low or something pulling you down, then you have to remember that actually you can be bigger than this and you can be strong in yourself. And you don't have to rely on anyone and I think that you can put that in any context, you know, whether it's a relationship or, as you say, like it might be to do with like society or gender or sexuality or any of those things. It will just speak to you in a way, hopefully, that's just personal to you.
You've recently signed with Elephant Tracks. As a label, how have they been supportive of this message that you're trying to put out with your music, so to speak?
Yeah, Elephant Tracks are amazing. The artists that they have already, they represent, are all in their own individual way trying to speak a message, a certain message. A lot of the artists are political in different ways, and I think that hip-hop especially, not that I'm a hip-hop artist, but I think definitely with the hip-hop artists that are on Elephant Tracks, that hip-hop is a way to really, it's rooted in, you know, sending a message, and it's often political, and, you know, if you want to get angry, then you're really getting angry, and I think that's really, really important. And so, although my message, I wouldn't say that it's directly political, but I do want to and always strive to tap into really personal spots. And so they've been incredibly supportive of that. I find it actually to be a duty of mine to, as a young female artist, to talk about diversity, to push that, to talk about sexuality and gender and those things, and I guess I'll do it in my way.
You touched on it yourself, this idea of diversity. How has growing up in a country like Australia that is as accepting of diversity as it is at times rejecting of it shaped these feminist views?
Australia is a really complex country. I think my dad's from Kenya and my mum's Australian. I was born here and have lived here my whole life. I have a connection to Kenya, but not such a strong one. So that's something that I'm discovering a little more the older I get. But it's really complex because, you know, I used to just blame it on a little bit. Well, we're a young country, so therefore we're so far behind everywhere else, as in, you know, not young as in 40,000 years, but young as in from, like, colonization. So, but now I just don't really stand by that. I just feel like it's one of those frustrating things where I want so much for things to fast track. There are so many things that I think are completely ludicrous about this country, including how racist it is and that our government can't actually recognise that. But also, I think, and my friends talk about it a lot, my peers and friends, and we talk about how helpless we feel. So it's hard to know what to do sometimes. On one hand, we do have this really lucky country. I mean, it's incredibly, from my point of view anyway, I feel like we live in a really beautiful country for so many reasons, and it's a safe country as well in comparison to a lot of other places around the world. So in that way, we're really, really fortunate. And I think about that all the time and feel really blessed for that. But at the other end of it, yeah, when you start to get into conversations about diversity and race and gender and those things that are, yeah, it's very frustrating to me. So that's why, I mean, an example where I put that to practice is that, yeah, with the video, the music video for 10 Feet Tall, it was really important to me that all the women in that video were of all different races, from all different backgrounds, and also from a beauty myth point of view, weren't all models. Also being an actor, it's so much based on visuals and aesthetic. And so from a feminist point of view, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't, I think it's important to be conscious of how you contribute to those things. So I wanted to make sure that there were really extraordinary, individual, unique, strong women in the video.
Well, my very close friend, Tanaka, she's 11 years old and she's also African-Australian. And she actually wanted me to get your autograph because, I mean, even though you're only at the beginnings of your career, you're already stepping out as a really good role model. Do you feel that as a pressure or is that something you think you'll be comfortable with?
I don't really see it as a pressure, maybe because of the moment that it doesn't feel like that. Mm. But I also think that it's really important if you are in any kind of position of power. I'm not saying that I am. Like, if you're in any kind of platform, I think that you should actually take the responsibility on of speaking about whatever your thing is. I see that as a responsibility, a great responsibility. Because, you know, growing up, I think about it more now. I don't think I realised it when I was younger, but I didn't really have... It's interesting that you mention, that young girl, yeah. Tanaka, because some people don't really realise, but you actually, when you're young, and even when you're older, especially when you're young, you actually need to see faces that look like you, or you need to relate in some way. It can be a really powerful thing. So I suppose I'm recognising that more, and in recognising that I could be a recognisable and a positive influence, that makes me feel great because it makes me work harder to make sure that what I'm doing and in the way that I'm contributing is never just lazy or egocentric, that it's just all about me, or it's not a pressure, but it's a really good impetus and like a kick up the butt, really, to make sure that what I'm doing matters.
A very extreme, for want of a better word, example of using a platform is, of course, Beyoncé's Lemonade, which has created quite a stir in that it's a testimony to the power and soul of women of colour, but for some reason people don't see the value of that. How did you find the album with its themes and also its reception?
I must start by saying I love Beyoncé. I think that she's extraordinary. And the reason why I love her is that I think she is an incredible businesswoman. She is an empire, and she is so, so smart. Like, obviously, there's a whole team around her and all that stuff, but it is coming from her, and I think that that is so powerful. I tend to kind of stay out of... It's really hard, obviously, when, you know, someone like Beyoncé kind of drops this big thing and everyone's all, you know, you can't kind of avoid it. But
yeah,
I tend to just, like, lay low a bit and stay out of it because it does create this kind of craze. But I think that she's extraordinary and I think complex because she represents something that, like, women all over the world want to be. But at the same time... the thing that frustrates me about that whole idolatry, I suppose, is that what she does is extraordinary because she's a pioneer and she creates great music and she sets trends. And on the music aspect, I think that she keeps getting better. And on the trend aspect, I think that's where it becomes complex for me because she also represents perfection in a way. I guess the way that I can put it is recently I had my hair chemically straightened because I'm doing a play and I'm playing an African American. And so I've always had natural Afro hair, which is great hair. It's really difficult to manage. It's so thick. It's all that stuff, but I love it. And I've never, ever had hair that falls and moves and all that stuff. Anyway, so I have this straight hair now, and I was, like, looking at myself in the mirror, and I really liked what I saw. And I thought, oh, this hair's, like, really easy to deal with. Then I also started to just feel a bit weird because I knew that women of colour that straighten their hair, it's all in an attempt to become more white. So this whole thing that becomes complex with Beyoncé is that there's this thing where you think, oh, great, like, I woke up like this and, like, I'm perfect and I want to be like Beyoncé. And I have a real problem with that because Beyoncé also, in terms of the hair thing, Like, she would have, her natural hair would not be like that at all. So even Beyonce is chasing something that is other.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
No worries.
This is The Informer, Joy's brand new current affairs program. You just heard Emma Arnold chatting with Okenyo, an inspiring new artist who is empowering women through her music. Joining us in the studio now is Kate Allison, who became the drama teacher at Fitzroy High School just over 2 years ago and has definitely made her mark in terms of empowering young women. Katie is the performance leader at the school and aims to empower young women in particular through positions of leadership like stage managing and directing. She emphasises the importance of women feeling appreciated no matter what their role. We're also lucky enough to be joined by two of Kate's talented performing arts students, Stella Bridey and Zsuzsa Gaynor Mahaley, who are part of the Fitzroy High School Feminist Collective, or FEMCO. The group was set up back in 2013 after much venting of passionate discussion about sexism and misogyny amongst teenagers at the school. Ladies, welcome to The Informer and thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you. Thanks, Steph.
Thanks for having us.
Kate, we'll start with you. What made you want to go down the road of trying to empower young women as a teacher at your school? Why is it important to you?
I guess it really started from when I was actually at high school and being an artist and a performer and really being keen to enter that industry myself and finding it really tough. The fact that I didn't fit the traditional moulds of a performer or a leading lady. And I really just wanted to make sure that the young women that I was in contact with and teaching at my school, that they felt that there was no need to, I guess, conform to traditional roles, whether that be behind the scenes or actually on stage. And I really wanted to make an impact with them in the way that they approach the arts, you know, that it's not just to be a glitzy performer on stage and to look good and to be attractive, that it's about telling stories and through a variety of mediums. And that's...
And what challenges have you come up against in trying to implement this sort of philosophy at the school?
We're pretty fabulous in the way that we do things at Fitzroy. So I suppose the challenges would be encouraging women to even be involved. You know, we have got a huge body of talent at Fitzroy and quite a heavy, I suppose, in the music side of things, quite a male-dominated department. And certainly with the productions that we do, I want to encourage women of, well, young women of all social backgrounds, talents, abilities to be involved in any way that they can. So a challenge would be encouraging them to want to get to want to be involved, you know, and not feel afraid to have a go.
And how powerful do you think the performing arts are as a medium for confronting issues of gender inequality and sexism and misogyny in society or indeed at your school?
Yeah, I think the arts is an incredibly powerful medium. It means that we can tell those stories in any way that we want, really. And I think that if we get these stories out there, get that the stories up on stage or out to the masses, it means that we can have people thinking about what it is that we're trying to say. You know, so often musicals or shows or plays are really lighthearted. You know, they want people to be entertained. But if we can have people feel something, watch something and be affected and take away from that their own, or start to form their own opinions based on what they've seen and the issues that have been presented to them, and then from there make a decision or make an informed choice or opinion, I think that we've done our job as performers or as theatre makers.
Well, let's move over to your students to hear what they have to say. Girls, you're not only very talented performing artists yourself at the school in year 11 and year 12, but you're also part of FEMCO, and which started up in 2013. Can you tell us a little bit about why you got involved and how it all came about?
I got involved
at the start, mainly because of the teacher, Bryony. I had a really good relationship with her, and she talked about a lot of this stuff in class and just in like personal discussions, and it sounded really interesting, and it was really interesting to hear what my like peers had to say. So I wanted to get involved to learn more about it and to support her and what she was doing.
I think it kind of grew from just very passionate discussion and our own experiences into wanting to do something about it and wanting to actually make change, instead of just kind of having these conversations that were very good on a personal level and on a kind of individual level, but we wanted to implement something that meant that maybe other people wouldn't have to go through the same kind of experiences that we were sharing, and maybe something that would help start up a dialogue, because it was so helpful to have those conversations and just to know that other people felt the same way that we felt and were experiencing the same things that we were feeling. So I think that was the main thing, is that we just kind of wanted to share this experience that we had, and that was how the teaching resource came about.
And Juja, you were saying to me before that you're interested in becoming a director when you finish school.
Stage manager,
sorry, my bad. How do you feel when you hear stats like, I think it's something like 17% of women are directors in the Australian television industry? How does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, it's pretty crappy, but I mean, my kind of upbringing, my mum's a director and my dad works in the arts, and so I've always been surrounded by people of all kind of different backgrounds and whatever, who do lots of different stuff. So for me, it's never really seemed like there was anything stopping me from getting involved. So I've never come across anything stopping me, but certainly I know that the reality is that probably at some point I will get passed over on jobs because I'm a woman in favour of a man, which really sucks. You know, I don't want to be held back just because of my gender.
Yeah. And Stella, how real do you think people, like young girls like yourself, how real do you think people think that is, that women are getting knocked back purely because they're a woman?
I mean, I think it's like with all of these issues, we hear the statistics every day, but we're so desensitized to it that we forget that every one of those statistics is a real person who is being discriminated against based on their gender. And when you see it, or when you experience it, this discrimination, it becomes this thing of just like, you feel so powerless, I think. And especially with, you know, like we see all the time representation of women in lower levels in, you know, every industry, but just not at the top. And even with performing arts, you probably got like pretty fair representation for both genders on the stage, but behind the scenes in positions of power and getting to make, you know, being a stage manager, Juja is an incredible stage manager. I've worked with her like several times and she does an incredible job. And the thought that she might be passed over based purely on her gender irritates me, because productions are better when Juja's involved, and that should be what it's about, not anything else.
Behind the scenes, Juju, you were the stage manager last year for the school's major production. How did that experience empower you, or how did that sort of advance you in and make you feel?
I mean, I'd already done a couple of shows with the school, so I was sort of vaguely familiar with what was involved, but definitely working on the show and working with Kate, I kind of really figured out, like, this is what I like doing. Like, I really enjoyed doing this, and she was really supportive and gave me a lot of help and feedback, and I really felt like I was a valued member of the team and that my input was important. So it was definitely like, oh, you know, this is something that I can do and something that I really enjoy.
Well, Kate, Stella and Juja, sadly we're out of time, but thanks so much for coming in. You're all very inspiring, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rundown on today's story will be on the Joy website shortly. You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. This is Joy's brand new current affairs program. Thank you to my guests today, Okenyo, Kate Ellison, Stella Bridie and Juja Gaynor-Mahaley. If you'd like to know a little bit more about the Fitzroy High School's Feminist Collective, or FEMCO, you can head to fhs.femco.com. There's some pretty interesting resources there. Today's show was produced by Emma Arnold and myself, Stephanie McLean, with additional producing from James Findlay. For a podcast of today's program and other stories from The Informer, visit joy.org.au/The Informer. The Informer will be back tomorrow at 6:30. Up next is Outtakes with Daniel and Alan. I'm Stephanie McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.